Good evening again. It is a joy to be with you. Just want to say I'm so encouraged. Thank you, Brian, for inviting me. It is to my shame that this is the first time I'm visiting Covenant Hope. We've been hearing about you since 2017, so this is just my first time, or first time to be here. But it's just a joy and makes me excited. We are looking forward to plant the church and just pretty much be like this. Just such a sweet, sweet family. And I mean every word of that. So thanks for inviting us. So if you haven't already, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to go through verses 8 through 10. If you know anything about Ephesians, it's almost equally divided, right? So chapters 1 through 3 is about doctrine, basically. What is the gospel? And 4 through 6 is practice, or how to live as a Christian. And our passage today is in the doctrine part, but that doesn't mean there's no application in it, right? So let's dive in there. And the verses that I chose is actually a part of one section, which is from 7 through 13. But then if we go through that, you're going to go home at 7, and I don't want that. Maybe Brian would not invite me again. So let's just take these three verses for now. So let's read it. Verse 8, to me, Paul is speaking here, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That's the word of God. Amen. I love the church. Really, I mean that. We love the church. And that's the reason why we're planting a church. That's why we want a gospel preaching church in the Arabian Peninsula. We are convinced that the church is the highest entity on earth. It even transcends the cosmic powers of this present age and in the age to come. And there's nothing more honorable and more glorious than the church, of course, apart from God himself. But why is that? And that's what we're going to see in this passage. Right now, we live in a time dominated by AI and social media, obscene movies, racial and ethnic divisions and wars, and information and access to almost everything is just in the palm of our hands, right? And apart from the saving work of Christ, we live under the rule and authority of the evil one. And that's what Paul said in the first chapter and then the second chapter. But here in our passage, the Apostle Paul encourages us, the church, Christians, that by the virtue of our union with Christ, we are now seated in him in the heavenly places, which means through us, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God can be made known to the kingdom of darkness. And in short, this is what I want to say. So in this passage, we're going to see that the church destroys the kingdom of darkness by proclaiming and demonstrating the manifold wisdom of God. So the universal church, expressed through the local churches, destroys the kingdom of darkness by proclaiming and demonstrating the manifold wisdom of God. And we're going to unpack that with two things. First, the message of the church, and then second, the purpose of the church. So look at verses 8 to 9. So Paul is saying here, to me though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. What is that grace? To preach. To preach. Not only Paul is saying, oh, God has tasked me to preach, but he's saying this preaching is actually a gift. And he used the word grace, which means undeserved grace. And I wonder, how often do we actually think that preaching is a gift? Right? Yes, we often think about it It is a burden, it is a task, we need to do it. It's commanded by the Lord, and rightly so. But Paul says here that to be able to preach, to be tasked to preach, is an undeserved gift from the Lord. So woe to us if we don't preach. But what is the message? What is the message? He says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's one. Second, the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. But okay, those are big words, right? What is this unsearchable, or meaning unknowable, riches of Christ? When we say riches, it's something that that is, you know, in our resources, we desire to have those riches, so that to provide, to satisfy us, to meet what we need. Those are the riches, right? And Paul is saying that's our message. We need to preach this unsearchable riches of Christ, or unknowable riches of Christ. And even this mystery. What is a mystery? A mystery is something that was hidden before, but now revealed, right? And that's our message. In short, the message is the gospel. That's it. There's no other message. That's it. The gospel is our message, and that is the same message that Paul has been unpacking from chapters 1 to 3. And it is the whole redemptive story of the whole Bible. That is our message as a church. That despite our rebellion, that despite our transgression, despite our sin against God who created all things and even sustains even the breath that's coming out of my mouth right now, even though we rebel against Him, we can be saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus through His perfect life, through His atoning death, you know, His substitutionary death, meaning that is our death that He died, and then His resurrection. And more, this salvation is not just limited to one people group, right? It's not only for the Jews. That's Paul's point. It's not only for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, which back then, you know, we don't get it now, but back then it's a big thing because it's always Jews versus Gentiles. Now Paul is saying Jews and Gentiles. And that's a big thing for them. Jews hates Gentiles, Gentiles hates the Jews. But now Paul is saying, no, we can all be one family. This is not limited to one ethnic group. The sons of Abraham are not just the genealogical line of Abraham, but those who are in faith in Jesus. It is all tribes, all languages, all nations. And that's what you are in this very room. It's not about the Philippines, about India and Sri Lanka and Pakistan, Australia, Africa, Russia, the U.S. No, we can be one through the finished work of Jesus. And that is amazing. That is the mystery hidden for all ages. And Paul says, this is our message for everyone. You know, we Filipinos in our context, we like to mingle with just Filipinos. Right, the fellow Kabayans, that's where we thrive and enjoy. But the gospel is not just for Filipinos. The gospel is for everyone. And that's amazing. And that brings us to our second point. So the purpose of the church. So where do we hear this message? Where do we hear this message that we should preach? You know, this unsearchable riches of Christ, this mystery hidden for all ages. And Paul tells us in verse 10, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Just think of this. When we say wisdom of God, like, what comes to our mind about wisdom of God? Definitely, it's massive, it's infinite, it's unknowable, it's almost unreachable. But Paul's point here, we can know it. God has given it to us. How? through the church. We can know the wisdom of God through the church. And how? By preaching the scriptures, by preaching the gospel. And that's amazing. You know, our God is, in one sense, yes, he's unfathomable. We cannot comprehend him fully, but he has revealed himself to us truly. That is the God that we serve. That is why the church is glorious. We can know about his wisdom. We can see his wisdom through the church. So who are these rulers and authorities in the heavenly places? And we're going to see this in all of Ephesians, right? We don't have time to unpack all of it. But in short, they are the heavenly beings, the spiritual realm, so angels and demons. And here, in our context, Paul is talking more about the demons, the kingdom of darkness opposing the kingdom of God and its citizens. And we all know this, right? Like before we were in Christ, we belonged to that kingdom. We were citizens of that kingdom. But then Paul says, now you belong to the kingdom of God. God, Jesus has redeemed us from that kingdom. And Paul says, now you are the body. You are the body of Christ. And in and through you, the manifold, when we say manifold, it's multicolored or multifaceted wisdom of God is displayed through us. And this was his plan all along. So God's eternal and infinite wisdom is proclaimed through preaching and displayed or demonstrated among us, the church. But who is the church? And we always talk about, okay, this is a church. You know, we're in a church building, nice building. We don't have a building, by the way, in Redeemer. We might not have in Providence as well. We might be staying underground, under the radar. Does that mean that we're not the church? I love Paul's sermon or encouragement to the elders in Ephesians, the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:28. He says, take care of yourself and the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer to care for the flock, whom God obtained by his own blood. And that is the church. The church, in Greek, it's ekklesia, meaning the called out ones. Meaning those whom Jesus calls to himself. Those who belong to him. Those who have been purchased or have been obtained by his own blood. And just hear this again. This is shocking. How did he get the church? He purchased it by his own blood. Think of this, Covenant Hope. The God of the universe, who created everything, every single atom in the universe, who sustains every breath that comes out of our mouths, he took on flesh, lived a perfect life, and died the death that you and I deserve, so that he would redeem us. Take note, Jesus died for the church, not just for you or for me individually or as an individual. Though that is true, but he died for a people, for a church. And that's why the church is glorious, because the church is the only entity, if I may use that word, you know, I'm using a human terms here, the church is the only entity on earth, in the universe, that God himself died for. You're so precious. We are precious because we have been bought by the blood of the Son of God. And we don't often think about that. Imagine that, you know, there's a lot of good entities in the whole world. There's seminaries and government buildings and lots of entities. But none of them that God himself died for. Only the church. That is why you guys are glorious. And though in our context, Paul is talking about the universal church, meaning all Christians of all time and of all places, but the universal church is expressed in local congregations, such as Covenant Hope. And you are an expression of that. And you are part of God's called out ones. Why are you part of God's called out plans? To proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light the mystery hidden for ages. In short, to preach the gospel. To preach the Bible. And I love how in your prayer and you want to protect the preaching of God's word. Praise God. That's what you need, and that's what would make you healthy and grow. And that's what you have been doing in this past several years, really. And that's why you're here. Yes, I know church can be messy, right? I know we fight, we disagree. You know, sometimes even with good intentions, we hurt one another. You know, that little brother there is very annoying, you know, whenever he makes jokes. It's actually not funny. It's insulting. Sometimes it's hard to submit to elders, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, that sister annoys you, the way she breathes, the way she laughs, and it's just annoying, right? I know it can be messy, but you were bought by the same blood, by the blood of Christ, so that the whole cosmos might see the unsearchable riches of Christ in and through you. So keep loving one another, Covenant Hope. Keep loving one another, even when it's hard. Even when it's 6 p.m. on Sunday and it's, you know, you're feeling sleepy. Love one another. Keep bearing one another's burden. Keep serving one another. Keep praying for one another. Keep confessing your sins. Do you know how many churches who confess their sins corporately and, you know, one-to-one? You could count them. Not much. We've been in a church for 3 years prior Redeemer. We've never confessed sin corporately. So keep confessing your sins to one another. Keep praying. Pray for your elders and deacons. Keep preaching the gospel, not just from the pulpit, but keep preaching the gospel to one another. I need the gospel. You need the gospel. We all need the gospel every single day. So keep reminding each other that. And keep making disciples of all nations. And as you do all of that, as you do all of this, as you love this brother, as you pray for your elders, as you confess your sins, as you forgive your brother or your sister, you trample the kingdom of darkness under your feet. You proclaim the manifold wisdom of God through that. So keep doing that. God's manifold wisdom is proclaimed and displayed in and through you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for Jesus, who is the word, became flesh, who dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Father, thank you because you have sent Jesus to purchase us, unworthy, undeserving peasants. You gave us new life in Christ, and we praise you for that, Lord. And I pray that we would walk in a manner worthy of our calling in submission to our Lord and King Jesus. And we pray this in his name by the Spirit. Amen.